Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Jimmy Rutledge is getting a lot of national pub. I think I'm going to keep it my goal to never have a hot enough take for Evan, Canty, and Smalls to discuss me on Unsportsmanlike Edition. Remember when we used to play Brewers prospect or Steinhoffel's employee or Associated Bank employee or race car driver in the NASCAR race in West Allis? I feel like we could play that because I'm finishing up a story for channel3000.com. About the Packers cornerbacks after Valentine, Keyshawn Nixon. Because those are the only three with Nate Hobbs sideline that I think people are going to know. Edition. And the live from Platteville, it's Wednesday morning. Edition. With Tausch at Badgers football practice. Of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course, everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Android and Apple app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from the University of Wisconsin, Platteville, he is the radio color analyst for Badger football. I don't know if he's at Ralph E. Davis Pioneer Stadium or some sort of practice field. But I know he's there. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. We hear pads cracking and whistles blowing. We need a horn.
We've had a few horns already. Yes, it is at Ralph E. Davis Pioneer Stadium. So practice just got started, and I'll provide a few updates as we go. But, yeah, just doing some special teams, a little punting and just getting this thing rolling. They're about a week in out here, so this is my first look at the fall version of the Wisconsin Badgers.
Do they have a Brad Nortman quality punter currently on the 93-man roster or whatever they have working?
Well, I mean, Norty was one of the all-time greats. I'm not going to put that on any of these guys, but obviously we saw Bertram last year with that great fake punt and some of the stuff that he was able to do. So I'm not going to put anyone in the Brad Nortman category, not at least at this point.
Great call and great execution. All right, so you're going to be at practice throughout the show.
Yep.
Now, Brian Bulaga had a conflict today. He rescheduled us. He's going to join us tomorrow instead. We will have Homer at 10:30.
Okay.
But have you have smaller story, but maybe you've been following it. Have you been following this Jim Rutledge saga?
One.
Oh, that's a good horn.
That's a strong horn. Very strong horn. Now it's some tunes coming. Yeah, I have. Rutledge is getting a lot of run, and it's funny because that's kind of what our job is to look at things, analyze them, and make interesting commentary. So I was laughing as you were talking. Like, that is your goal, is to never do that. That's Rutledge's goal, to do that on a basically a daily basis, right?
Well, yes and no. As I said, I don't want to have a hot take that is being so roundly criticized that it is making the rounds. If it was really smart and everyone's talking about, boy, this Rutledge fella, what a smart guy. He's really on top of that. He's got his finger on the pulse of where Matt LaFleur and the Packers are. That'd be different. But, like, has he had anyone agree with him since this unfolded?
So can we, just for a reference, Jesse, can you run that audio so everybody can be recollected on what Jim said that was so controversial?
Yes. Give me just a second to get situated here. There's a lot of moving parts going on here.
While you're doing that.
I was trying to buy you time for that, Jesse, so I'm not sure why the guy at football practice called for that, but be that as it may.
Because we've been talking. You just mentioned it. I was going to have... Is there a worse place to try and make a phone call than down in the Driftless area between Verona and Platteville? Because I had two or three calls I was doing on my drive down. Luckily, there was a lot of traffic, so I could do my hit with Vinny and Eric in the Madison area. Tell me there's a worse cell phone reception area than the shale cliffs of driving to Platteville and Dodgeville. I don't think there is. It's the worst. The absolute worst, Jerry.
You do lose everything there for a good 15, 20 minutes.
Why? All this technology and
because it's driftless and cell serviceless, apparently.
Well, it certainly feels that way, yeah. It sucks. I mean, that part sucks. So did that buy you enough time, Jesse?
It did. Yeah, thank you.
All right, perfect. You're welcome.
So for context, this was said when Jim, Matt, and Molly hosted the takeover of Wilde and Tausch last Friday on the final day of Tausch's summer sabbatical. So while they were live at Camp Randall Stadium, here is what Jim Rutledge said about the Packers with Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love that's gotten so much national attention in the last 48 hours.
Here's the other facts. The Packers finished third every year without Aaron Rodgers, correct? They've gotten their ass kicked by the Lions every damn year. The Lions own their ass, and they have been the last playoff team in the playoffs the 2 years with Jordan Love. So it's good, but this is not sustained success. They have leveled down since Aaron Rodgers has left. They went from NFC Championship games with Aaron Rodgers, so that's not sustaining success. They have leveled down. Now, if you want to tell me you believe in Matt LaFleur bringing them back up, fine, but we were looking at the facts. It is back-to-back third-place seasons for the Green Bay Packers in the division, continually getting their ass kicked by the Detroit Lions, and then also being the last team in the playoffs the last 2 years, and they are 1-2 in the playoffs. Those are also parts of the facts. So I'm not saying Matt LaFleur isn't a great coach. I'm not saying the Packers can't climb. I think number 10 is just fine because that allows them to continue to climb back up and prove it, but I also think it's fair to question.
That sounds right. Like Jesse. That sounds like Jesse Nelson and Pat Murphy. Hey, I'm not saying. Here's the deal.
He said the word ass a lot.
He likes swearing. It's provocative. I think Jim is really good at his job. I think he does a great job with Jim, Matt, and Molly. But here's the deal. You have to be factually accurate when you say that. And he's not. He says they've leveled down. Is that what he said, correct?
Yes, that's the phrase. Yes, sir.
So here's the deal, Jim. Level down from his MVP 2021. What did Aaron Rodgers and the Packers do in 2022?
They missed the playoffs.
Right, nine. So Jordan Love has not leveled down. Well, they have not leveled down. They've leveled up. Now, is it leveled up to the point of being the NFC North champs and the one seed? No. But they have not leveled down since. And by the way, nobody expects when you lose a Hall of Fame quarterback and replace them with a first-year starter, there is going to be some drift down. But it wasn't. And that's why everybody was so excited, because that what we all thought dip was going to happen. So Jim is actually being kind of a dip, not a level down, because they didn't level down. Now, last year, you can make an argument with the expectations being higher. It was disappointing. But even then, they won two more games than they did the year before. So by almost every metric, Matt LaFleur with Jordan Love have been upward since Aaron Rodgers left. So that whole statement doesn't make any sense.
So and the other part of it, and we'll get further into this as Tausch rolls on from Badgers practice at Platteville, is it Matt LaFleur leveling down? Because he's laying it at Matt LaFleur's feet. And that was the conversation I had with him yesterday. Like, I don't know. They had some of the most veteran teams during the first half of his tenure, and now it is a much younger roster every year. This is Goody's five-year plan. And let's not lose sight of the fact that not only did they make the playoffs, I understand, as the seventh seed, and unlike Tausch, I do believe that the argument to say, hey, if they don't expand the playoffs, we're sitting here looking at them going, well, these guys have missed the playoffs 3 years in a row now, and people look at that totally different. So I do think the seven seed thing is a valid point. I do.
It is, but let's be honest about that.
I'm only bringing it up because if it didn't exist, the way we would view the LaFleur and Gutekunst tenures would be vastly different. They would not have gotten the opportunity to do what they did, beating Dallas, which is a huge win on their resume. Talk about college teams and what quality wins they have. That is a quality win against the number two seed on the road as the seventh seed, and they kicked, as Jim Rutledge might say, their ass. And then they had three quarters of the game in San Francisco or in Santa Clara. They were the better team than the 49ers, too. So the idea that that doesn't count for anything in this leveling up, leveling down nonsense, that's one of the things I don't understand. But my point to Jim was yesterday, and we'll play my response to him, because apparently we're just going to play what everybody has said to Jim, whether it's nationally or locally. But my point to him is, why is it LaFleur that he views as leveling down? Because the whole thing that prompted this conversation, Tausch, was that Bill Barnwell, or whoever did this, it was really long, so I didn't read the whole thing, ironically, had the Packers with the 10th best coaching staff in the league. And that's what set Jim off. So when I look at where they're at, I'm not sure, even if you want to be critical of where they're at going into 2025, I'm not sure that my criticism goes only to LaFleur. Does it for you?
Who else does it go to?
I think it goes to Goody.
All right, so I understand it's August and we're not into games yet, but we've had this whole offseason. And was last season disappointing for a lot of Packer fans? Yeah. Disappointing, 11 wins, but the fact that you didn't beat any big boy teams and you finished third in your division and you're a fingertip of Carl Brooks away from going 0-6, that was the disappointing part. What you've done in a two-year period of time when you've replaced a Hall of Fame left tackle, a Hall of Fame wide receiver, and a Hall of Fame quarterback, it is no small task that you've replaced him with a quarterback you felt good enough with for to pay him $55 million a year. I think we just need to slow our roll a little bit. And I know the expectation game in Green Bay is always high, always going to be, and that's the way it should be. The Packers have handled this transition very, very well. Now, is it as great? I think everything's sped up with the great finish
uh-huh.
to the 23 season, and you shouldn't be penalized for having that. Now, in the same respect, you have to find ways to win some of those big games last year, and if you don't match up with Philadelphia, who knows what happens in the playoffs last year. So all of these things can be true. You can have this, but the leveling up part is not true. That is just not a factual statement, and that's why I don't take a ton of other credence in it. But to sit here and say this isn't a big year and the development of where this organization is going, heck yeah, it is. You have a lot of big decisions that are coming down the pipe, and it's all going to depend on how certain players play as far as if they're going to be a part of this moving forward.
Well, I do think that there are some spots on the roster that you can say, I don't know how good I feel about them. I'm not
Jason,
saying
that- how do you look at this transition? It's 2 years. That's draft picks. You can grade guys much better. How would you grade the transition from Rodgers to Jordan Love, Goody and LaFleur's handling of it, and the results they've gotten mm-hmm. from it? It's an A. It's an A. No?
I think it's hard to look at last season, and the standard argument is, well, they won two more games than they did the year before. I do think that the quality of those wins is open to question given what the AFC South was and the fact that all of the NFC North teams had success against that bad division, right? The number that is hard to get past, there's two of them. 1-5 in your division and a Carl Brooks fingertip away from being 0-6 there. And 0-6 against the three teams that finished with a better record than you, the Eagles, the Lions, and the Vikings. So I can't give you an A if in year two, coming off of a three-game winning streak to end the regular season, a resounding, impressive dismantling of Mike McCarthy's Cowboys, and having the 49ers on the ropes, and having your defense take a huge step forward in 2024 with a new coordinator, I can't give them an A.
What are you giving them?
A B plus? Like, I can't give them an A for that.
So because they were so good late in that first season, you're going to penalize the transition.
I don't think that's penalizing them to give them a B.
I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying you're penalizing them.
Yeah, I think you are.
Because of last season. And I just think where they're at, if you would have told everybody after they traded Aaron Rodgers that they were going to be a two years in a row playoff, a quarterback that you felt great about having moving forward, and a defense that got better and created more turnovers and are positioned themselves as one of the favorites in the entire NFC, and that's disappointing. I can't agree with that at all.
I don't think saying it's a B is disappointing. I think what it is honest, though, is that if your expectations were raised, you talk about the expectation all the time, AJ Hawk, what they did to finish 2023, they lost their last three games last year, including at home. I understand that the Commanders were probably going to get the sixth seed anyway and everything else, but they lost at home to the Bears. They got swept by the Lions and the Vikings. I can't give anyone an A. That's like totally flunking one of your exams. And to say they still got a B, in my opinion, in the transition, I think is incredibly generous.
All right.
And by the way, we killed them in 2021 for their offense stinking up Lambeau Field when they had the most important number one seed in the history of the league, when the defense did its job and they couldn't come up with one more touchdown when their offense and their special teams were terrible. That Eagles game was there for the taking, and the quarterback threw three picks and they did not play well enough offensively. Now, do you want to make excuses because they lost Elton on the fourth snap and they didn't have somebody ready to fill in for him and they played Travis Glover, who got his lunch eaten? Sure, who does that fall on that they didn't have a veteran offensive lineman that could have gotten them through that game? Like, let's not play revisionist history here. They're not. No one is saying they suck, and I don't agree with Jim Rutledge to say that they have leveled down. But let's not put lipstick on a pig on the way their season ended last year. It wasn't good enough. And you know who else doesn't think it was good enough? Goody and LaFleur, because look at the way they approached the offseason.
Listen, they approached it with, we need to get better up front, but I'm just looking at this thing big picture. Of course you want to win more. Of course you want to advance and win championships. I'm looking at this, if you would have told me in 2022, after in 23, the offseason, we're trading Aaron Rodgers, we're rebuilding, reloading, and in 2 years, we were going to know for sure we have our franchise quarterback that we would pay him, and that we were going to be in position that we have been to an NFC divisional game, we've made the playoffs, and that we are going to be one of the favorites in the NFC for the next 5 years, I would say that's pretty dang good by everybody involved. I'm not looking at this last year to there. I'm looking at this big picture transition, because that's what the crux of this conversation comes from, is have they leveled down since Aaron Rodgers? The answer is no, they haven't. Now, did they take the monster jump that we thought from 23 to 4? No. But the monster jump they took from 22 to 23 is so far above an A that I have to level it back and say that B that you're giving them is up, because they changed the whole blanking curve. The curve changed with the end of the season of 23.
Well, we can debate what's quality, what's not quality, what deserves praise, what doesn't, but we can't debate that when it comes to Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. They are the best.
And for long-lasting comfort and reliability, it is easy to trust Pella. Each piece is specifically constructed for your home, and it's always designed with innovation, rigorously tested for quality and performance, and built to create long-term energy savings. And there's no reason to wait. Because if you order by August 31st, you get zero interest for up to 60 months. And oh, head on out, Wisconsin State Fair. Head on out to the Pella booth, where if you sign up, you can get some sweet new deals out there as well. You can get 5 years of no interest payments. Again, do that. Order by August 31st. Zero interest for 60 months. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
More with Tausch live from practice in Platteville with the Badgers. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. But I won't cry for yesterday. There's an ordinary world.
Somehow I have to find. And this I'm going to need Tausch to explain something to me. Because he's a lot smarter than me, clearly. I'm reading along in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube comments.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How can you knock the Packers, Lance says, for a fingertip on Carl Brooks' field goal when we didn't play the starters the whole game at Lambeau against the Bears? Yeah, I don't know what, Lance, you're looking for here. The Bears were terrible. Okay, and you barely beat them at Soldier Field. So I'm sorry, I don't think that that's a harsh knock. I think that's just an honest knock. Somebody's going to have to explain to me what we're supposed to expect from the Packers, because lots and lots and lots of people... Derek, I think the team has done a damn good job in this rebuild. Most teams would have fell off the face of the earth after losing a Hall of Fame quarterback. First of all, they didn't lose a Hall of Fame quarterback. He is still playing. They didn't lose him. They chose to move on from him.
Well,
that's not the same.
But it is.
No,
it's
not.
He's not here anymore. They're not here. So, Jason, here's the disconnect that I'm having with you. And I'm not screaming at you, and I'm not getting mad at you. But we're not talking.
One more first.
Okay.
Derek, I mean, our quarterback just wrote a whole entire article saying he wants to separate himself from the other people that played for the Packers. He doesn't want to compare the two. So let's give him a chance to show us. You don't think that someone who says he wants to separate himself from Favre and Rodgers should then be held to the standard of playing at an elite level? He's saying so himself. I just don't understand. What do fans want to expect from this team? Do we want Jason, to coddle our expectations of them or not?
Okay, if I may, you're conflating two different scenarios here.
And don't tell me what I'm doing.
No, but you are. So you can tell me why I'm right or why I'm wrong. Nobody is saying we're not having a conversation about whether we're coddling expectations or we're saying this team should be content with where they're at. That is not the conversation. That's not where this show started, and that's not what the conversation topic was. The topic was, have we leveled down since Rodgers left? And the answer is no, we haven't.
Right, so, which we agree on. The discussion changed then. And I'm reading the stuff in the YouTube comments. I'm not responding to you.
Well, maybe I missed where the conversation changed, because you know, you're sitting here saying you can't give an A. For what was asked and how big of a void, whether you lost him or you put him in the lost and found yourself, he is no longer here. There is a new, the whole thing was new and rebuilt, whether you want to say rebuild or not. And I think Goody and LaFleur have handled it very, very well. Is it perfect? I would say last year was. This year, you know, the way two seasons.
Perfect?
Two seasons ago, you couldn't ask for a better way to handle. You couldn't. Other than trading Rodgers for 2-3 first-round picks, like I said, the way that season went, even with a tough loss to the Niners, you could have that was such a overcorrection on any expectation any of us had. Now, last year, there's arguments to be made. But all in all, from a two-year window, which is what Jim mentioned and which is where my head is at, this transition has been really, really strong. It is an A in my – not an A+. It is an A. And now you have to start cashing in on this, because all of that is great and cute, but there is no coddling of expectations. There's nobody here that's saying if the Packers miss the playoffs, oh, shucks, it's okay, or if they get knocked out again in the first round. Nobody is saying that. All I'm saying is I'm going from the level up, level down, LaFleur, Goody. And when you said Goody, they maybe didn't do as good a job. I just fundamentally disagree in the fact that they've done a really good job of rebuilding from the point that they were at, where they lost to the Detroit Lions on that Sunday night to finish their season, to where they're at now. I think it's been pretty doggone good.
Just, if I may, when do you criticize Brian Gutekunst?
Oh, I criticized him with the Jimmy Graham move. I criticized him last year a bunch about where the O-line was and the fact that they didn't have enough people in place to handle Elgton Jenkins being lost. I am not very pleased with how he's handled the Elgton Jenkins contract scenario. I could go back and say there's a bunch of stuff. I didn't think he handled the Davante Adams situation very good. So, I don't know, four or five things there.
So, I can give you more. I would. Yeah, give me more. Let me hear some more.
Well, he drafted Josh Myers over Creed Humphrey. That was a mistake.
So there's all kinds of mistakes. So if you're giving them an A and they got it handed to them by the Eagles because they lost Elgton Jenkins, and you yourself said you criticized him for that.
Yeah.
Is that not a major factor in why they did not win yet last year,
Jason,
in Philadelphia? Yes or
yes,
no?
It was a huge factor. I've said that, and that's why they course corrected. And one of the reasons I like.
So does he not? You said you criticized him for that. Is that not a piece of a whole? No. At no point did I say that he's done a terrible job. But is that not one example of an area where he didn't do a good enough job having options? And isn't cornerback, as we stand here today, with the likes of Kalen King, Jonathan Baldwin, Isaiah Dunn, Kamal Haddon, Tyron Herring, and a guy named Garnett Hollis Jr., all of the guys on the cornerback depth chart?
Okay, like, so J-
Is that not reasonable to question that?
Jason, I just want to make sure we're on the same page here because I'm getting frustrated and I don't want to get mad because I'm down here in Platteville. It's a nice overcast day. It's not hot. We are over the conversation now with Rutledge. We're not doing that. This is now this season. Just so we're on the same page because these are two different conversations.
I stopped talking about Rutledge as soon as I said that it's not all Matt LaFleur's fault that they haven't leveled up to the degree that apparently Jim Rutledge thought they should have.
And I disagree. And so you agree with Rutledge that they haven't leveled up?
No.
Or you haven't?
No.
Okay. All right, I'm done with the leveling up because I'm getting frustrated. What I will say this, you want to get back to criticisms of Goody. The kicking situation was mauled. And I was very – but what has been really fascinating about Goody and why I'm such a Goody stan is because he doesn't allow you to make these mistakes. He doesn't sit on them. He has a backup quarterback scenario last year. He knew it wasn't going to be good enough, so he went and traded and got Malik Willis. He knew the kicking situation wasn't good enough, so what did he do? He went and got a new kicker. That kicker wasn't good enough. What did he do? Hey, we got to take a flyer on McManus.
But he's the one – look – apparently we have a different definition of what an A grade is. Because if you're the one who fails a test and then do better on the next test, you still have to count the mistakes you made. Braden Narveson was a mistake. If you win one or two of those games.
Glad I'm not on video today. I can tell you that. So the leveling up conversation's over. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about now. That's different. That is a different scenario than the where they were at when they let Rodgers walk out the door to now. That's the A grade. I didn't give him an A grade for last year. No, I didn't. That's the difference. And that's
if
where
you
we're
give them an A grade for the transition over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I don't think Goody has done good enough work to be meriting an A grade. And I said it was a B, which is still leveling up from what happened at the end of the Rodgers tenure. But I do think that there are pieces of his resume that merit criticism. And so if you're going to give him an A for this transition, those things need to be pointed out. And last year, they did not turn in A work. They didn't. Especially on the hardest tests of last year. And so if the big overarching grade is an A, those other parts of it don't match up with that grade. And that was what I was disagreeing you with on. Okay?
Okay. All right.
None of us disagree on what it's how great it is to have Tito's Vodka as one of our partners.
Hey, you know me. I love three things, and I'm down here on one of them. Football. I'm not having a Tito's yet, but maybe tonight. Fire up the grill and a solid cocktail. And when it's time to kick back, whether you're tailgating before a practice, watching from the couch, or grilling out with your boys, Tito's Handmade Vodka is my go-to. Made in Austin, Texas. The first legal distillery in the state. Tito's is 6 times distilled for a clean and smooth finish, and it's naturally gluten-free. You know what I love about Tito's, too, besides its great taste? Gives back in a big way, partnering with nonprofits and doing a lot of good in a lot of communities across the country, especially for those beautiful little cute four-legged friends. So next time you're raising a glass, make it with Tito's Handmade Vodka, distilled and bottled by fifth generation in Austin, Texas.
More with Tausch at Badgers practice. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. Dancing on the edge, about to take it too far. Messing with my head, how I'm missing your heart. If you wake up in your bed, alone in the dark, I'm sorry. Gotta leave before you love me.
Normally, this is when our good friend Brian Bulaga would join us. I had a lovely conversation in the locker room yesterday with Zach Tom about the two right tackles that I spend a lot of time on the air with and their feelings for him. We'll get to that a little bit later. But now we're going to play a special edition of Did You Hear This with Brian Bulaga from other outlets.
Consider it the radio version of a conversation at the water cooler. It's time for Did You Hear This on Willie and Tausch.
So, Jesse, these are highlights from the two shows that he hosted when the summer sabbatical was in full swing.
So I have one from the first show he did, one from the second show he did, and then one from the Homer Hour that I found to be compelling from last week as well. So I wanted to get caught up on everything Blue had to say. By the way, Brian is scheduled to appear at 9:30 tomorrow morning. We did work that out, so I just had a little conflict today. So he's scheduled to appear at the same time tomorrow. Here is what he said on the Homer Hour. We'll start with this one first.
I just don't know, because I got asked, you know, when you put an emphasis on these things during preseason and camp, like, does it normally pay off in the regular season? And, like, it does in a way that guys are conscious about it, they're thinking about it, but it always doesn't go that way, right? Like, it's not always going to, just because guys are punching at the ball and they're trying to swat at the ball when they're trying to get a sack, meaning that those things are going to happen. Like, it's just it's something that the guys are conscious of now. But, like, if they're able to get a couple more throughout the season, it pays big dividends. Not league-leading or record-setting more, but just, like, three or four more, that's a big deal.
That's in reference to the ball king, which we discussed while Tausch was gone, and the emphasis on attacking the football on defense. Tausch, you hear Bulaga's commentary there on attacking the football and the emphasis on it. How much does it translate, or has it translated in your career, for what's emphasized in the preseason and training camp to what actually happens then over the course of a season?
Well, I mean, I think everybody always is going to emphasize creating turnovers and ball security. That drill, I mean, we started doing that to start practice. But I think there's a lot. There was a year, I think we struggled with some short yardage the year before. And we emphasized, we did before every 9-on-7, we would do a 3rd-and-1 and we would line up and we would go. And we got a lot better in that next season. I do think the issue is everybody wants the same things on a football team, right? You want to create turnovers and you want to secure the football. But I do think there is a value in, hey, we want to get a lot better at the screen game. Let's emphasize it. Because I think players and coaches, you have a certain bandwidth that you can go with. And if you're putting a lot of resources into that, you want to see results. So I think when you focus on a certain thing, if it's red zone, if it's goal line, in my history as a player, I think we've gotten a lot of bang for our buck by really emphasizing a certain area, hammering it, practicing it, talking about it, and then hopefully seeing those results. There's a lot of times I felt like we did have success with that.
As you well know, Jesse, I love the ball king story. I love the phrase, you get what you emphasize, you also get what you tolerate. So I think this is going to work out great, and I can't wait to see them get to the magic number of 43, which apparently is the modern NFL record for most fumbles forced, not fumbles actually recovered, but fumbles forced is 42. They're shooting for 43 to break the record. What's next?
Did you hear this?
Next up, we have Brian Bulaga from his second appearance with us talking about Packers physicality. And for those watching on the video stream, there's a video component with this one, too. Enjoy.
It's not that anyone's advocating for not being physical. Like, I continue to say there's a difference between physical and, like, a difference between, like, kind of being out of control and doing things that are uncharacteristic, right? There's a difference between those of, like, what's tough and what's this and that. Like, you can be what you want as a football team and be hard-nosed and tough and build those traits by not doing things that put guys in compromised positions.
That's on physicality, Tausch, with the emphasis on Nate Hobbs and all the physicality we've seen at Packers practice especially in those first 7 or 8 days. Is that a message you've heard before in your playing days?
There's no doubt. It's very similar to, you know, the turnover talk. Every team wants to be physical. You have to practice what you preach. And that was part of the discussion we had yesterday was, you know, how willing are you to put guys really at risk when you're talking about practice and when you're talking about preseason games? Because you can sit here and say, man, we are going to, you know, like Dan Campbell said, or like any of these coaches that really have emphasized the physicality, you're going to drag people out into the water and all that imagery. You got to practice it. You got to do it. And if you're willing to do that, the big way that I believe physicality is shown is up front with both O-line, and that starts with stopping the run and being able to run the football when people know you're going to run it. You can do that. All of the other stuff, physicality in the secondary and everything else, that's more about just getting guys down on the ground. The days of Chuck Cecil splitting his nose open and, you know, burying tight ends and wideouts over the middle, those days are gone. So it's about being physical, being strong, and being, you know, super efficient. That's more what you're looking for, and that all comes from the boys up front.
First of all, I find it ironic that the guy that had brought the attitude and maybe gone over the line in Nate Hobbs was part of a collision that resulted in a meniscus tear that has him now unavailable. And if the hope is not a strategy, nor is it a prognosis. If the hope is that he'll be ready for the opener, great, if that happens. Otherwise, if he's not ready for week one against the Lions, it will ensure that Nate Hobbs has never played a full 17-game schedule. Now, that doesn't make him a bad signing by Goody. They wanted to be more physical. He is one of the people they signed for that express purpose. But physicality doesn't do you a whole lot of good. And by the way, that is a word. I see there's some debate. I didn't think it was a word either, but then I looked it up, and at some point it became a word. I just don't know if that position, if that's one of your guys that are physical. We've seen other corners who are not afraid to be physical. Unfortunately, they a lot of times are having to be physical with guys that are much bigger than them, like Najee Harris coming through a hole in the line of scrimmage, running over Jair Alexander, busting up his shoulder, and him not being physical anymore after that. He was, for all the criticism Jair Alexander has endured, he was as physical as any undersized corner ever when he got here in 2018. And then he couldn't play that way anymore. So I am very eager to see how physicality actually manifests itself this year.
Did you hear this?
Last up here, Tausch, we have not gotten your thoughts yet on the Packers throwback uniforms that they unveiled while you were gone. Here was Brian Bulaga's initial reaction to the 1923 throwback uniforms.
The helmet is, I mean, I'm just going to be totally honest. I like to be honest on here. And
people, we like it too.
The helmet is brutal. The helmet's brutal. I just can't. I don't like the helmet. I don't like the printed on. Like, I don't like that. Like, it just looks brutal to me. I'm not a fan of it. It's just, I'm not feeling it. I wouldn't like it. I don't like it. I'm not even wearing it. And that's just me.
I laughed that time both live and on recording.
I don't know if he made himself clear on it, Tausch. What do you make of the 1923 throwbacks with the fake leather helmets that the Packers will don this season?
Yeah, I mean, Brian and I agree on a lot of stuff. I disagree. It's an old school throwback. It's not supposed to look all sleek and sexy. That's the new era helmet. So we're obviously not going to let them go out and play in leather helmets. Although some people said back in the day that that might help encourage less headhunting. I like it. I think it's got that. I want to say Michigan played Illinois last year in a college football game. with those old throwback leather helmets. I liked them then. I like simplicity in life. How can you get what you're looking for in a clean, simple way? This helmet does that. So I disagree. I love it. I'm glad they're wearing it. I can't wait to see it. What game are they wearing that in? I might come up just to watch that helmet.
Has not yet been announced.
TBD.
Yeah, I as I said at the time with Brian, who was an outstanding Cousin Sub of the Day, Cousin Subs, we believe him better. I can't believe how strongly he felt about it, and so negatively. They're hand painted.
Yeah,
like they're real. They look like leather helmets, and yet they are real NFL helmets with, like, you know, my only question I have now is, have they made a Guardian cap with that same design so Romeo Doubs can wear that in a game? Because, you know, the Guardian caps now have logos and they're, right? They're just gigantic on the guy's head. But Romeo's going to wear his all season. So do they have one for him, or is he going to be running around out there with a traditional colored helmet to be able to play in that game? I don't know about that, but I love the helmets, and I like the uniforms. I won't be purchasing any of them at the pro shop because I'm not a fan, but they do look good. You know what else looks good? Your business, if you enlist Lakeland Supply to give you a hand with it. Core values are an important piece to any successful business, and Lakeland Supply is no different. They have been displaying their core values in the industrial supply space for over 40 years. Integrity, excellence, stewardship, partnership, and faith. They're ISO certified, a Future 50 winner, top rated in customer satisfaction, and they believe in giving back to the community. Lakeland isn't one of those catalog companies either. They work to be your packaging and supply expert, building plans you want. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. So set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at LakelandSupply.com. More with Tausch live from Badgers practice. We'll see if he can give us some play-by-play or some updates on what's happening with the Cardinal and White next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Brian Balaga on Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Surfside. Surfside iced tea and vodka and Surfside lemonade and vodka. It's light, refreshing, and has zero bubbles. It's perfect for a day on the golf course or a day at American Family Field. Cheers to Surfside.
It's a beautiful day.
Matt LaFleur is at the podium, or was at the podium anyway, saying that Javon Bullard has had an outstanding camp.
Oh, really?
One of the highlights.
So Jason, the social media folks have been saying he's been getting torched. Well, from social media, that's what I've been hearing.
Matt Schneidman quoting LaFleur, I know you guys probably look at one-on-one reps when he gets beat, but that's not what we're looking at. I was not there. I don't know if the follow-up was, well, what are you looking at? But we'll find out when I get the transcript. Also, I did mention this earlier in camp, and it happened again yesterday from what I was told because I was resting my turf toe. Mecole Hardman had another touchdown. There's a guy that's a signing that could turn out to be one of Goody's smart veteran signings that he doesn't do very often. But for a very low price, you get him and Isaiah Simmons, and those two guys contribute to your team and help you be a contender for the NFC Championship. You get an A from me for that.
Have we been hearing much about Isaiah Simmons?
He ran with the ones yesterday again.
All right.
Speaking of who's running with the ones, give us an update on practice thus far.
Well, the defense, I felt like the defense in the initial, what you would call 9-on-7, I had a better morning than the offense, but and this is, again, a couple of years ago, I got all excited. Oh, my God, these defensive ends, these outside linebackers, it looks different. All I'm going to say, and I said this over the spring, too, is the bodies on the defensive line, there's more of a mix, but there are some big, wide, tall, thick SOBs on that group. And that was something, obviously, everybody that watched and commentated saw at the end of the year. That group was beaten down. There's a lot of reinforcements and a lot of different body types, and they're big. Hopefully that translates into much better run defense than what we saw last year.
Tausch, I assume that when you weren't getting good reception on your drive, you at least stopped at some point and got a coffee at a Quick Trip.
Well, actually, today I was late because of the bad traffic on the Beltline, but I will, you can be for certain, I will make a stop to Quick Trip. And are you ready to climb to the top this summer? Gear up for Quick Trip's Mountain Dew Quick Climb, where every sip gets you closer to the summit. Now through August 17th, play every day for free. Hold on! In the Quick Rewards app and score bonus plays with every eligible item that you grab. Grab an ice cold Pepsi, a bowl of Mountain Dew, hydrating Gatorade. They're actually going to take a little hydrating break right now. Propel, sparkling bubbler, smooth Starbucks, refreshing Pure Leaf, or the high voltage taste of Rockstar. Pair any of those with hot food and you can earn 2 bonus plays. Each week, the cash prize climbs by $5,000, stacking higher until somebody wins that ultimate prize of $250,000. That is cash money. Open your Quick Rewards app. Start climbing. The view from the top is worth every play. Quick Trip's Mountain Dew Quick Climb. Your summer, your climb, your win. No purchase necessary. See rules at quicktrip.com/sweepstakes.
The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.